John chapter 4, let's go. Title of the message, and this is number 9 in the Healing Examples series. Number 9, are you at rest? Are you at rest? And we're going to open up in John chapter 4 again. This is probably the last message I'll do on this nobleman's son. But there's something, and Chris, again, if you want to do like you do, you can come on in, you know that. So just take care of that, and let's go. This will probably be the last, the last message that I'll do in this series on the nobleman's son. But I feel like we need to touch on one more aspect of this healing in John chapter 4, and we'll begin reading there in verse number 43. Again, the title of the message is Are You at Rest? Number 9 in this series on healing examples. Beginning there in verse 43, now after 2 days he departed thence and went into Galilee. John chapter 4, verse 43. Verse 44, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman. One version reads that he was a royal, okay? And that's important that you understand that, because this was not just your run-of-the-mill citizen, not that he was better than anybody, but he was a man of means, okay, whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So he besought him. He asked Jesus if he would come back to his house and heal his boy. And the one version reads that it was a little child, a very young child, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The nobleman, or the royal, saith unto him, Sir, come down ere my child die. So what Jesus said to him in verse 48 went in one ear and out the other. Okay? And he's still, so he's desperate. And the nobleman said, Sir, he's being polite, come down or else my child will die. All right? And in fact, we know that they were all expecting that child to die. And those were the reports that he had received from the medical people back home. This child basically didn't have a chance. Verse 50, Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday. Underline the word yesterday. I just want you to see something on that, because if you just read it, you'll go right past it and not get it. He inquired of them the hour when he began to amend, and they said unto him, Yesterday. So what you can see, it's pretty simple. A day has passed since he was there and Jesus told him, Go your way, your son lives. He's now a day past as he's getting close to where he was to arrive at his home. They came out and met him, and don't you suppose the enemy was beating him over the head with that? They're trying, you know, here they come. They're going to give you the bad news. They're trying to break break it to you before you get right there at the house. We want to prepare you, because you know good and well the devil was beating him over the head with this thing. It's too late. You've blown it. You listened to him, and now you're going back there, and your son's dead already. Don't even bother. How many of y'all have ever been believing God and had to resist all sorts of negative attacks in your thoughts during that time after you said, I believe it in Jesus' name, I receive it, and then the battle was on. Sure, that's the way it goes. But, and they said unto him, Yesterday. So that tells me that it was at least a day that it took him to get back, okay? A day had lapsed. At the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. Now, the whole household believed as a result of what happened back there. And I like that. And it's amazing how when one person believes God, it can have a trickle effect and affect the whole house. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen? As for me and my house, we're going to believe God and we're going to trust. And then when the miracle happens, I've had family members go, wow, that was powerful. You know, I wasn't so sure about that, but I see what happened when y'all prayed and they believed. So we'll give God the glory for it. Amen? This is, again, the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Let me also say this. If you have a family member who's teetering and not serving the Lord like they ought to, don't be ashamed to give the testimonies of when you pray and God does something in your life. That can be many times, it's better than preaching to them because they're always going to sense the, you know, they kind of like can see through you preaching and telling them about Jesus because you want them to repent of being a drunk or being loose or being a liar or being a cheat or whatever the person's doing because they're not serving the Lord. And they can tell, you're just trying to get me to change. Well, okay, Einstein, yeah, that's right. And it ought to happen, and if you're smart, you would, but you know, that approach, they're kind of hip to it. But when you start telling them what the Lord did in this situation, don't even ask them if they've turned their life over to Christ at that moment. Don't even bother with them with that. Just give them the powerful good news of what prayer did. And let that settle on them. Because at that moment, they're in a non-resistive mode because after all, are they going to say, you know, when somebody gets healed, oh, that's a horrible thing that they got healed. Would have been better if they stayed sick. No, no, no. So there is the defenses are down, right? Be aware of that. That powerful testimony of that situation turning around can have a profound effect upon a member of your family who has not been serving the Lord like they ought to, or doesn't even know the Lord, you know. So pay attention to that. When opportunities arise, take advantage of the moment. Amen. As I said, this man was a royal. And let's just pass kind of in review of the whole thing. He had been used to being in authority, and he had some position, whether he was directly related to the king or not, we're not really sure, or, you know, somewhere he was in the royal line, and he had some degree of authority, and the public knew about this man. Now, one of the things that I think is interesting about this guy, and something that we need to pay attention to. This man was willing to go and do what he sensed in his heart he was supposed to do. He was willing to go where Jesus was at. And, you know, some people are today not receiving because they're really unwilling to go where the Lord directs them. They're not willing. If it's not convenient, I'm not doing it. I don't feel like it. I don't think that's necessary. Have you ever believed God and then as you're believing God, as you're trusting the Lord has you do something that in the natural maybe you argued about it for a moment? I have. You know, you're believing God for a financial need to be met, and the Lord says, I want you to send $200 to that person or to that ministry, whatever it may be. And you're going, $200? Why would I do that? That sounds counterproductive. Sounds like exactly the wrong thing to do at this moment when every dollar counts. Come on, anybody ever been there? I've had the Lord tell me to sow large offerings before, larger than that, and to sow an offering, sow a seed, and right on the heels of that came a marvelous blessing to the church. And somebody will go, well, that's just coincidence. No, I don't think so. I really don't think so. I think when you listen to the Lord and do what he tells you to do, the blessings follow. Amen. Now, you don't do it with, I'm going to get the blessing in mind. You do it with, I'm going to be obedient in mind. And when you're obedient, oh my, 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 the results always follow. Amen? But this nobleman, this royal, he was in the place that he felt the Lord had led him to. And ultimately, this encounter with Jesus would change his life. Do you hear me? It would change his life. It changed his whole house because they believed too. What else did it change? It saved his little boy's life. And this guy had decided he would do what he needed to do. One of the things you don't hear about, and you know, you hear the good reports of when a person obeys God and this blessing follows, as in this case. What if this man had said, I've heard about that, but I'm not going? It would have been doing a funeral for that child, right? How many people end up never having the praise report, never end up having the things that the Lord had planned to be able to do into their lives because they didn't take the time to do what they knew in their heart they ought to do? Whew, that's heavy. That's heavy. You never hear about all the things that would have happened had they obeyed God. You just never hear about it. Why? Because they never happened. Why did they not happen? Because the person just decided to blow it off and not do what they knew in their heart that they should do. They were supposed to go, but I'm too busy. I've got other things to do. I've actually had people tell me that. You know, it slips, you know. When we had a special speaker or something, and then they say, you know, boy, we really had a fun time at blah, 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 and it's like, oh, that's when church was going on. You let that slip. You know, I thought you weren't feeling well enough to come to church. That kind of stuff. Well, you mean I have to be at church every time the doors are open? Yeah, you should be. Amen. Well, there's that preacher who wants people in the church again. Yeah. Amen. But your obedience to do what the Lord tells you to do can be as simple as go to church. How many times have, you know, you sat down and the Lord said something to you during a service, and if you've never heard him talk to you and give you direction, then I would suggest that maybe you start taking some notes and, you know, just draw in a little closer and pay a little closer attention, because the Lord will say things to you regarding what's being ministered to. If you're easily distracted, then, get your nose into the Bible. And it wouldn't be a bad thing to start bringing a physical Bible. Somebody say, well, it's all, you know, electronic. I've got mine on my phone too. And I understand that. But there is something about having a hard copy right in front of you that you can write in and underline and circle and have some notes and all that. So it's a good thing. It's a proven fact. It's statistically accurate that when you just sit and listen, you retain about 13 to 15%. But when you start taking notes, that triples somewhere in that zone of your retention when you take notes. Okay? So be very, very aware of that. And then if you go back over the notes, you're going to retain even more. And if you go back over the notes again, you see, you can add to them, go back and read the scriptures again. That's how people really begin to absorb things from the Word. I've had throughout the years, and I know you've heard it too, when a person doesn't want to commit to being consistent in their Christianity, they'll try to make excuses of, you know, I can be just as good a Christian on the golf course on a Sunday as you can in church. And I've heard people say this. I've had families tell me the only time we can go to, you know, the lake is Sunday. I said, well, that's not a good excuse, because that's the day that the Lord has chosen for us to get together and worship. And what you're doing is you're setting a precedent and you're setting an example for those children to think that it's not important. And if we want to do this, we're going to do that instead. Now, hear me. This is a problem in America. It's a big problem in America today. the church, and there are a lot of born-again people. Yes, that's true, but there are so many born-again people that are so weak in their faith it isn't funny. And it's because they're not doing what the Lord tells them to do when he's telling them to do it. Well, that's heavy. So somebody say, I can be just as good a Christian as anybody else by staying at home and staying at my house. And I will say to you, no, you can't. Now, why can you not be as good a Christian? Well, we're not supposed to compare ourselves, Pastor Dan. Well, I'm just saying, you're the one that brought it up. I can be as good a Christian as anybody else just staying home and not going to the church, not going to church. No, you can't, because you cannot ignore the words of the Lord, and by staying out of church, that's exactly what you do. You know, Hebrews 10, verse 25, of course, says not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. But here's another aspect of this whole thing, why this COVID thing was so devilish. Because you cannot serve remotely. You can't serve from your couch. You can't usher from your couch. You can't do the things that you need to do from your house. It's separate, pull them apart, isolate people, get them out of the habit of serving. You need to be serving in the church. If you're not serving in the church, you need to be doing something. Can I hear an amen? Can I hear an amen out there? It's true. But that means I'll have to come to the church. Yeah. But you cannot serve remotely. You need to be fed the word in the church, but you also need to be serving in the local church. It's what you need to do. Amen. Lord designed it that way. And sad to say, and sorry to say, but it's true, but there's always a handful of people in churches that are doing 90% of the work. That stinks. It really does. It shouldn't be like that. We have these, you know, ideas, and somebody will say, well, if everybody got involved, that's right. If everybody would just do something, man, you could have so much activity and things going on. We could do a lot more if we had more people that were willing to serve. We'll just let that settle over the airwaves tonight and over your thoughts, because it's very important. Somebody say, well, I want to serve. God looks at your heart. God's looking at your heart. Yes, he is. Amen. But when the Lord puts something into your heart, don't ignore it. Don't ignore it, please. Being at the right place at the right time is very, very important. Now, we know that this nobleman had this whole incident planned out, didn't he? He had this planned out, and you know, now I'll ask him. He had this in his thoughts. I'm going to go find this guy. I've heard about all these miracles that are happening, and I'm going to go find him, and I'm going to ask him if he'll come with me. And I'm a royal. I'm sure he will, you know, I'm sure he's heard of me. The people know who I am. I'll ask him, and he'll come with me. And so he does that in verse 47. He heard of Jesus. He went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. And what was Jesus' answer? Except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Last week I told you it was a double negative, that phrase in the original language. And literally it meant, he said, except you see signs and wonders, you'll not believe. There's no way you'll believe. No way. You won't believe. No way will you believe. Except you see signs and wonders. And that whole business of seeing signs and wonders is something that Jesus ran into during his ministry repeatedly, didn't he? This evil generation seeks a sign. Remember that? The Pharisees would ask him to show them a sign. Who was it? Herod, that wanted to see a sign, right? When he was on the cross, they were saying, hey, if you're really who you say you are, come down off of there. Then we'll believe. It's not the way it works. But that stuff's been going on forever. Thomas was one of the 12, and he got caught up into that. I'm not, unless I can put my hands in the print of the nails and put my hand, touch his side, I'm not going to be, I won't believe. And then when he sees Jesus, he's like, oh my goodness, it is you. No kidding. But Thomas had that idea that seeing is believing. Seeing is not believing. You can see something, you still have a choice whether you're going to believe it or not, right? How many of y'all have seen something and you're going, I don't believe that? Huh? Did you see the guy, Larry, that did the illusion and he moved an island? It was on TV. This illusionist, he moved an island. It was a tricky little thing the way he did it because it was exposed later on how he did it, because you know you can't move an island. I mean, God can't. You can speak to a mountain, and the mountain will, I understand scripturally all, but this guy moved this mountain, this little island. You could see it in the background of the picture, and it appears to move. And it was intricately done with cameras and angles and so on and so forth. And I saw the one where this guy, and it was on YouTube, this guy appeared to cut off, what did he cut off? His head. And the head was over here, and he was running around with the head, and it looked like it. And people were freaking out. And it was a trick, obviously, right? Because when you cut something off like that, you don't run around and hold it. Look here. Get ahead. They were making jokes about it and all. But the fact is, it was a trick. It was a trick. And I don't care. You've seen it. You've seen elephants disappear in front of you. Guy on the stage, and he's got an elephant, and he pulls a curtain, and boom, the elephant, it's gone. Where'd it go? You know good and well you've just been tricked, right? You saw it. The seeing is believing. You saw it. You have to believe it. Now you're going, I see it. And here's what you're saying. I just don't know how he did that, but there's no way he did that. Right? Right. And that's the, quote, magician's thing, you know, their creed. They're not going to display and tell everybody how they do their tricks. And some of them are pretty high tech and pretty interesting. But the fact is, you can't make an elephant disappear. You can't move an island. You can't do these stupid, crazy things that they claim to be doing. And everyone's going, I know he didn't really do that, but boy, that looks real. Well, see, seeing is believing, so now you're a believer. No. Anytime you see something, you still have a choice whether or not you're going to believe it, right? Amen. But this man wanted to see Jesus do something, and Jesus recognized it and said, except you see signs and wonders, you'll not believe. There's no way you'll believe. Verse 49, the nobleman that went in one ear out the other, the nobleman, this royal says unto him, Jesus or sir, come down or my child die. He's desperate. But look at verse 50. This is where it all changed. I said this to you last week. This is where it all changed. This is where there was a shift that occurred. And Jesus approached him or said this to him, go thy way, thy son lives. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. Hold your finger right here and go to Hebrews chapter 4 quickly. Hebrews 4. Come on. Hebrews 4. There's more in this whole incident than what we have seen. Hebrews 4, verse 1, let us therefore fear or have reverence, lest or unless a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Verse 3, look at this. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. But I want you to see this. You which have believed, for we which have believed, verse 3, do enter into rest. Now, there's a parallel that happens every time you enter into rest. And what happens? The moment that you enter into rest over a situation, you're praying and suddenly you enter into rest. What has happened? you have entered into faith. You can measure your walk or degree of faith that you are walking in regarding a situation based on how much rest you have in it. If you are still agitated, if you are still mad, if you are frustrated, if you are, angry about the situation, whatever it may be, if you're fearful and upset, if you're depressed still, are you in rest? No. And if you're not in rest, guess what else you're not in? You're not in faith either. So once you start looking at a situation and you realize all you're doing is turmoiling over it daily, you say you're in faith, but really, you're not at rest. If you're not at rest, guess what? You're not in faith. I don't say that gleefully and joyfully that you're not in faith. Smart aleck, you thought you were in faith. No, the fact is, we need to all be aware of that in our lives. If we're not in rest over whatever it is that we've prayed about, and we're still depressed, or we're still angry about it, we're still frustrated, upset, fearful, there's no rest. And if there's no rest, your faith's not there either. So you see, we which have believed do enter into rest. Amen? You see that? Sure. So if you'll notice, go back to John 4 quickly, verse 50. You'll notice after this moment where Jesus said to him, "Go thy way, thy son lives," the man believed the word. Believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. He believed the word. You can see the moment that this nobleman enters into rest and consequently enters into faith. It's right there. It's right there. He received the word. Do you remember back in the Old Testament in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, you go, "Well, sure, I just read that today." Well, maybe you did. But this was a place where Hezekiah, the children of Israel are about to be attacked by Sennacherib. And 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 8, in fact, let me read that to you because I want you to get the whole impact of it. 2 Chronicles 32, verse 8. And it reads this way. Let me find it. Well, where are we at? And he's talking here. He says, "With him is an arm of flesh," talking about Sennacherib, "but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah," you see that? "King of Judah." They rested upon the words. They rested because of the words. Sennacherib was going to invade. He was going to attack. But Hezekiah had some words for them. "With him is the arm of the flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles." And the people all go, "Oh, all right." Let me say this to you. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Yeah, but, well, wait a minute. "But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Are you going to rest on the word or the words of the Lord? Are you going to rest and believe it? See, if you do that, faith can work on your behalf. Rest. Many people today are praying, go ahead, stand to your feet. Many people today are praying scared prayers. They're scared. Praying fearful prayers. "Oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord." He knows who he is. You know, they're not an ounce, there's not an ounce of faith in that. You can tell by the tone of your voice. You can tell you're not at rest. That's why I have said over and over, and there's a reason behind me saying this, over and over again, when you pray, stop trying to figure it out in your head how it can come to pass. What does that lead to? Reasoning. You'll always come up on a dead end unless you reason in the Word. Now, he said that in the book of Isaiah, chapter was it? Chapter 1. Come, let us reason together. And then we, like they did here in 2 Chronicles 32:8, well, he's got all this power over here in the natural, this Sennacherib guy, but we've got the Lord our God on our side. What do we have to be afraid of, right? This nobleman caught a hold of that, and he decided to believe Jesus. He decided to believe him. So it sunk in deep into his heart at that moment, and he's like, you know, you can just kind of, man, I can sense this moment when Jesus turned to him and he said, go your way, your son lives. Man, I'm sensing the anointing right here, right now. Go your way, your son lives. And the man is like, he's all upset. He's not at rest. And he hears that. And you can just sense, you can just feel. It's like, okay, I believe that. Something in the way Jesus said it, what he said, it hit him in his heart. The man in an instant went from unrest, upset, fearful that his son would die, to in faith, to the point that he said, thank you, and goes. Comes to find out as he's coming home that that's exactly what happened. Then he's like, what time? In order for you and I to get into faith, we have to hear from him. Hear from him about your situation. Whatever he tells you to do, end up, that's what you need to do. Obey, 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 obey. Then number two, so you hear from him about your situation. Number two, make the choice. Here's your choice. Am I going to believe what he told me? Do you believe it? And if you do believe it, the answer to that is yes. Number three, then, is you say, ah, that's good. I've got what I've been believing for. Yeah, but wow. See, you don't believe the minute you go down that route. You're not at rest, or you wouldn't be saying, yeah, but. Oh, here's what they said. Here's what this said. Blah, 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 blah. All of the bad reports. You're not at rest. Consequently, you're not in faith. You say, well, that's easy for you to say. You're not in the middle of it. I've been in the middle of some bad things before. I've been in the middle of some horrible situations that we were believing God for. And you know what? They came out all right when we quit trying to figure out how it was going to turn around. The more you try to figure it out, the more unrest you enter into, because it's frustrating not to be able to figure it out. And your brain will do 90 to nothing to try to, before you know it, your mind's going all over the place and you're not at rest and you're not in faith. But once you enter into faith, enter into rest, now you're into faith, the challenge is staying there. This guy had a whole day to ride home and not stay in rest and not stay. Don't you suppose the enemy was hitting him over the head about this? You're going to find a dead boy when you get home. You're going to be doing a funeral tomorrow. Get ready. Yeah, I hate that. But this guy stood his ground and believed the word. I'm telling you, you get a word from God, you believe it, you enter into that place of rest. That's Hebrews 4, verse 3. We which have believed do enter into that place of rest. Relax. Either you're believing or you're not. And if you're believing, there's no need to be upset. But that's individual with each person. It depends on where you decide you're going to walk this thing out. Amen. Well, that's a good word for us. That's a good word for you and I to hang on to. Are you in faith? If you're in faith, you'll be at rest too. If you're not at rest, you're not in faith. Okay? That's a good little gauge, isn't it? Yeah. Come on, bow your head. Father, we thank you and praise you for the rest that is ours in Christ Jesus. The rest that is ours because the word says what the word says, and we choose to believe the word. We choose to believe whatever it is, sir, that you've told us to do, we're going to do it and listen to you and adhere to that and allow your rest to flood us. We're not going to be upset about tomorrow. What can we do about tomorrow? Tomorrow's got enough to deal with of itself. Jesus said that in Matthew 6. So stop being anxious. Stop worrying. What do you do instead? You seek first his rule and reign in you. If you're seeking his rule and reign, you're seeking first the kingdom of God. That's what Matthew 6:33 is talking about. Seek first his kingdom, his rule and reign in you. If you're doing that, you're going to walk in rest because he'll give you every step of the way. He'll show you the pitfalls that are lying ahead. He'll show you the things you need to avoid. He'll show you the people you need to hook up with. He'll show you the ones you need to excommunicate out of your life because they're dragging you into a place you don't want to be. You listen. And as you do that, that rest, ooh, man, it gets better and better as you go. Father, thank you. Thank you. We praise you for each of us tonight knowing what you have for us. And sir, as we do, we'll enter into that place of rest and just relax. And thank you in advance for all that you're doing in our lives and then the lives of our loved ones. Some of you have family that you're believing God to be born again. You're believing for them to turn from the wicked ways, worldly ways, ungodly ways. And I'm telling you tonight, put your faith out. And once you do, once you believe God, once you step over to that place of believing, rest. Put it in his hands. Put it in God's hands. Leave it there. When you cast the care upon the Lord, that's what has to happen. You've got to leave it with him. Problem is, we keep trying to pick it up and take it back again all and that's where you get frustrated. So, Lord, we thank you for that rest. We thank you for the faith in each family, in each individual tonight, being built up and strengthened. And, Lord, thank you for what you're doing in our lives, in our households, in the name of Jesus. We give you glory for that this night, sir. In the name of the Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. If y'all can agree, say amen.